you know, in the days leading up to Boston, it was nothing but, oh my God, it's going to be cold. It's going to rain. It's going to be windy. It's going to be miserable. The weather. Episode 559 of Diz Runs Radio is a quick tip episode. Today's quick tip, lessons from the 2018 Boston Marathon. Hey guys, real quick before we dive into today's episode, I want to take a quick second and read one of the more recent reviews that we've got of the podcast over on Apple Podcasts or iTunes or whatever they're calling it now, whatever the app says, or you're logging onto the computer, you know, leaving a little feedback, leaving a little review is certainly something that helps the show grow. It helps, you know, when people are maybe thinking about, should I check out this show or not? They can check out the reviews. Just like, I mean, we all do that kind of stuff on Amazon or things like that. Like, should I get this? I don't know. Hem and haw. Well, let me see what the reviews say. So if you like the show and you want to support the show, one of the ways you can do that is to leave a review. And I want to give a quick debt of thank you to Bruce MC from the US, who said whose review says, a great running podcast. I like the enthusiasm and inspiration the host Denny brings to the show. I'm a particular fan of the quick tip episode. Keep up the great work. Well, thank you, Bruce. I appreciate the note. I appreciate you navigating through you know, the various levels of iTunes and Apple Podcasts to leave a review. They're not the easiest things to do. And this is coming from a guy who is an unabashed Apple fanboy. They've dropped the ball when it comes to making the review process, especially on your phone, less than easy. So thank you, Bruce, for the kind words. I'm glad you enjoy the quick tips. Hope you enjoy today's quick tip episode, and certainly have no plans of slowing down or stopping the show anytime soon. So you keep listening. I'll keep recording kind of my motto. And again, if you want to leave a little review, leave a little support of the show, always appreciated. And we'll get you a little shout out when you do as well. So for today's quick tip, you know, this is a little bit of a timelier episode in that, you know, this is coming out the same week that the Boston Marathon was run, the 2018 Boston Marathon. But I think that the things that we're going to talk about today are, you know, kind of timeless. So if you're finding this episode, you know, months or years down the line, which happens, you know, the references may not be quite as relevant as they are for everybody who's listening to this, you know, right as right about the same time that the show gets released. But the lessons are still, I hope, are still going to be relevant. So don't just dismiss it if, you know, we're into, you know, 2019, 2020 when you're listening to this. But, you know, watching the race this week, or this past week, as I did, I'm assuming probably most of you that are listening watched this as well, or tried to, you know, track it on social media, or some of you may have been there and running it. You know, what a race. It had a little bit of everything. Obviously there was the weather, which, you know, it was what it was, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But, you know, there were pretty kind of unexpected winners. You know, Dez has been in contention the last few years, but last year she finished, I don't know, 15, 16, something like that. So people were, at least the coverage I was watching, like they mentioned her, but she wasn't the great threat or the great, you know, the one that they were pinning their hopes on, or that Americans were pinning their hopes on to win the race. So kind of unexpected there. And the male winner, the guy from Japan, completely unexpected, wasn't even, you know, kind of in the discussion. It seemed like certainly pre-race, you know, as the race unfolded, they talked about him a bit more. But, you know, you had unexpected winners. You obviously had the weather. You had Shalane running off the course to go into the porta potty. You had the teamwork of Dez kind of holding back to help her get back up to the leaders. You had all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And there were plenty of takeaways, and you know, I'll go ahead and spoil my end bit here now, and just say I would love to know what was your kind of lasting memory of this race beyond the finishes. You know, those I think that, you know, are going to be memories for all of us that enjoy the sport and enjoyed watching it. But what else from the race was kind of one of your big takeaways or big you know, kind of just lasting memories when you think of the 2018 Boston Marathon? So we'd love to hear those things on the Twitter, email, show notes, whatever works best for you. Let me know. But we'll go ahead and get into now my five biggest takeaways / tips / lessons / coaching points from watching and, you know, paying attention to and reading some of the reports and things like that from the 2018 Boston Marathon. So first and foremost, the elephant in the room: the weather. everybody talked about the weather. It was, you know, if you're following friends and people that were running the race, you know, in the days leading up to Boston, it was nothing but, oh my God, it's going to be cold. It's going to rain. It's going to be windy. It's going to be miserable. The weather. Okay. Yeah. The weather was what it was. There's some years that it's blazing hot. There's some years that the weather is pretty darn idyllic. And then there's, you know, a year like 2018 when the weather is, not for the faint of heart. You know, it's cold, windy, rainy, but the weather is the weather. You know, weather, and I've talked about the weather issues before on various quick tips and interviews and blog posts and emails that, you know, the weather is something that you just can't control. It's a variable. It'll affect your race. It'll impact your race, but you can't do anything about it. So getting bent out of shape about the weather is something that I just, you know, I mean, I'm human. You know, I would rather not run when it's 35 degrees and raining and windy as hell. Like that's not a fun day at the office. But what good is worrying about the weather going to do other than to you know, help you prepare accordingly, make sure you've got the right clothing, the right gear, things like that. As our friend Jen from the Tundra always likes to say, it's never too cold. It's just improper gear. So make sure you got the right stuff. If it's going to be windy and rainy, make sure you've got, you know, a layer or two or three that are water resistant, water repellent. That's going to keep the rain off you, keep the wind from biting through you, things like that. If it's going to be super hot, make sure you've got, you know, lightweight clothes that are going to be, you know, moisture wicking, sweat wicking, things like that to try to keep you a little bit cooler. So pay attention to the weather and know what it's going to be so you can plan accordingly. But please, for the love of everything holy, don't get your panties all up in a bunch because of the weather. You know, don't get worked into a tizzy and freaked out and defeat yourself because the weather is going to be less than what you want it to be. Okay? You know, weather is going to affect you. If it's too hot, too cold, things like that, it can absolutely impact your physical abilities, the performance piece of your race. It sucks, but it is what it is. But what you do have control about as it relates to the weather is your mental outlook. So don't let your mind defeat you before the race even begins because it's, you know, insert weather situation here. Obviously for Boston, cold and windy. You know, as we get into some summer races and depending on where you live, hot and humid. You know, the humidity, the elevation, there's less oxygen, whatever it might be. Don't let the weather or those things that are completely outside of your control impact you negatively, or at least, you know, they are going to impact you a bit, but don't let them beat you on the mental front before you even start your race. Because, you know, heaven forbid, there were plenty of people, and I mean, I don't know, maybe not plenty, but there were people I know because I've seen it on people I'm connected to on social media that ran Boston this year in the wind, in the rain, in the cold, still PR'd. So just because the weather's not great doesn't mean you can't still have a good race. My PR for the half marathon is still not the hottest half marathon I've ever run as far as heat and humidity goes. So it's just because the weather's not great doesn't mean that you're SOL on race day. So don't let the weather beat you mentally before you start the race. Tip number two from the 2018 Boston Marathon, don't quit. There, you know, every long race and certainly half marathons fall into that. And you could probably make the argument that even some shorter races than that. But certainly the longer race you get into ultra marathon territory. Certainly there's going to be highs and lows. There's going to be peaks and valleys. There's going to be times that things feel pretty good. And there's going to be times that it's just a slog. And that's could be within an hour of each other that you're going to have these highs and lows. And, you know, one of the things that Des said in her press conferences after the win was that she thought she was going to give up. She thought she was going to drop out of the race. She wasn't feeling good. It wasn't going to be her day. Things weren't going very well. So she wasn't planning on finishing the race, but she kept at it. She kept going. And sure enough, you know, as Hollywood, you know, the Disney story wrote itself. She thought she was going to quit, wasn't having a great day, ends up winning the race and becoming the first U.S. woman to win Boston and whatever at 35, 34, 30 something years. Okay. Awesome. Don't quit just because you're having a rough go of it. You know, if you're running in a long race, I think a lot of us, we kind of plan for those rough patches to come late in the race. You know, mile 18 to 22 of the marathon, you know, mile 20 to 30 of ultra distance races, or at least of like the 50K, 50 mile, and who knows where in the longer distances. You know, maybe mile 7, 8, 9 of a half marathon. Like that's where we're going to be struggling because we're not close enough to be finished yet to kind of get that extra little boost from the, you know, feeling like the finish line's pulling you in, but far enough that like, God, this is still going on and this is a struggle. But what happens when you get that low point early in the race? I'm assuming that that's kind of what happened to Dez and why she didn't think she was going to finish. She was probably prepared to have a rough patch later, but when that rough patch came at mile 8 or 10 or whenever it was, it's like, oh, this is not my day. I'm going to shut it down. But she kept going. She stuck with it. She didn't quit. She came out of that rough patch and got new life. And all of a sudden, look where I am. I'm right up towards the front of the race. I guess I better keep going, which I think is pretty much almost what her quote was. And sure enough, she ends up winning. So, you know, if you have that rough patch early in the race, don't give up. Don't give up mentally. Don't give up literally by walking off the course. Keep grinding and see what happens. And you know, you're going to come out of that valley, that rough patch eventually. And it might come out of it a bit sooner than you think. And once you do, you might start feeling really, really good. And you might be able to still have a pretty darn good day, if not even maybe a career-defining day when all is said and done. That said, on the flip side of that coin, the third lesson from the 2018 Boston Marathon that I want to share is that sometimes you got to know when to quit. Know when to quit. There were plenty of elites, plenty of people that were expected to be contending for the lead that didn't finish the race this week, that didn't finish the 2018 Boston Marathon. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's a pretty common thing at the elite level in the marathon. If you know it's not your day, if you're struggling, if something starts to hurt a little bit, if something isn't right, go ahead and shut it down. Go ahead and save yourself, save your legs, save the wear and tear, and see if you can't maybe find another marathon in, you know, a couple of weeks, a month, something like that, where you can be recovered from this one. You still got all that fitness work that you know, your endurance is still strong, and you can go run that other race and try to, you know, really compete for a spot on the podium there on another day. Maybe you're going to have just a better day. So it's not uncommon at the elite level to do that. And at our level, maybe it is a bit more uncommon because, you know, we put all our eggs in one basket. We've been training for this race for a while. We've got the costs associated with the travel, the race entries, the hotels, all those types of things. And it's like, well, I'm not just going to walk away from this race, but there is a time and a place to take a DNF. You know, for some reason, we've got it kind of in our minds that, you know, a DNF is the worst thing that can happen. Nah, I mean, it's not great. I'm not advocating for more DNFs. I'm not advocating to walk off the course more often than not. But if you're, you know, 8 miles into a marathon or 8 miles into a half marathon or whatever it is, if you're still in that, you know, first half or right about the halfway point of a race and something's really wrong, Not you're not feeling good, not you're kind of slogging, not you realize that you're not going to reach your goal for the day because the pace is off too much. But if something's wrong, if there's an injury, a little niggle that's bubbling up and getting worse and worse and worse, it might be wise to, you know, sacrifice that race, take that DNF, and prevent that little thing from becoming a bigger deal, that little thing from becoming something that is uncomfortable and it's an irritant and it sucks. And now it's, you know, you keep going, you keep trudging through for the last 15 miles or the last 5 miles or the last 20 miles or whatever it is. And now you end up with a legitimate injury that is going to keep you out for, you know, maybe 2 months of training. And then you've got to rebuild before you can even, you know, pretend to try to have a redemption race down the road. So you might be, you know, weighing the balance of should I DNF or not? But let me give you this scenario. One DNF today may save you from 5, 6, 8 DNSs, which is did not starts, over the next several months. So, you know, nobody wants to DNF. Nobody wants to feel like a quitter, to give up on a race. But there is a time and a place when that's the prudent choice. The discretion is the better part of valor type of decision where, you know, nobody wants to quit. But sometimes quitting mid-race is the right choice. You know, we were plenty of people at Boston that were dealing with hypothermic issues. Yeah, we all want to, you know, you run in Boston, it's a great accomplishment. You want to finish the race, but you don't want to like freeze because of it. You don't want to sacrifice your health because of it. So make those right choices, make the smart choice. And sometimes that might mean pulling the plug on a race. Not an easy pill to swallow, but it's the right choice at times. Number 4 on the list of tips, tricks, lessons, things learned, reminders from watching the 2018 Boston Marathon is that the volunteers and spectators are the best people in the world. All right. You know, like I said earlier, talking about the weather, there are plenty of runners that didn't want to run because of the weather, and plenty of people didn't show up because of the weather. You know who did show up? The volunteers, the spectators. you know, one of the things that everybody raves about when it comes to the Boston Marathon is the number of people that spectate, that are out there watching, supporting, that they may not know anybody running the race, or they may know one of the 28,000 people that are running that day, but they're out there for hours cheering, spectating, supporting. All right? Don't ever, ever, as a runner, take volunteers or spectators for granted. That's bad enough. You just, you know, don't even acknowledge them. You take them for granted. Even worse than that, don't ever disrespect them, give them grief, complain at them. Those people are out there to help us as runners. So, you know, just if you were ever on the fence, or you never thought much about the volunteers and spectators, because maybe, you know, maybe nobody comes to cheer for you at the race, or maybe, you know, you bring all the things you need, you have your water and your fuel and things like that, so you don't need the aid stations, you don't need the volunteers as much. Still doesn't matter. Those people are awesome. And without them, especially without the volunteers, there's not going to be races. If there's no volunteers, there's no race. So without them, you know, we kind of rely on them. So make sure you're always thanking the volunteers, thank the spectators, and especially on the days when the weather is even less than ideal, even more so, kudos to anybody and everybody who was out watching the 2018 Boston Marathon, and especially, I mean, the highest of pedestals for those who gave up of their time to serve the running community. The volunteers, you guys are awesome. Awesome. So never, ever take the volunteers or the spectators for granted. And last but not least, the fifth thing that was kind of reminded of, or you know, takeaways from the 2018 Boston Marathon, is that sometimes we just got to keep showing up. You know, one of the tweets from Dez that started making the rounds after she won the race was from a few weeks ago. And it was, you know, screenshots of something that she had sent a while back. And the tweet says, "Some days it just flows and I feel like I'm born to do this. Other days it feels like I'm trudging through hell. Every day I make the choice to show up and see what I've got and try to be better. My advice, keep showing up." And that is what I think the final takeaway is from watching this year's race, is to keep showing up. You never know. You never know when it's going to be your day. You know, there's going to be probably a decent number of good days, but there's probably going to be a whole lot more days that aren't your days. The days when your legs feel heavy, when you're not feeling it, when the stomach isn't sitting right, when you're tired, when you're sore, when it's just not happening. Keep showing up. Keep showing up to your races. Keep showing up to your training. Keep doing the work. Keep showing up to the gym to do your strength days, or keep showing up to your yoga mat to do your yoga, to do your little things, to take care of your body. Because if you keep showing up and you keep doing all of those things that we need to be doing, eventually things are going to fall into place. Things are going to align themselves, and you're going to have a day. You're going to have a PR day. You're going to have a BQ day. You're going to have a day that, you know, you thought you were, you know, you were running Boston and that's awesome, and you ended up being second or third or fourth. Like so many of those, especially on the women's side, that, you know, nothing against those women at all. They're obviously great runners. They're all better, certainly much more accomplished runners than I am. But, you know, outside of Dez, the top, and Shalane finished in there somewhere. I can't remember exactly, fourth, fifth, something like that. But the rest of the top 10 are people that weren't going to finish in the top 10 of Boston if everybody else had a great day. But they showed up. They showed up on a day when the conditions weren't great. They showed up on days when they weren't getting any headlines. They didn't have, you know, a fancy bib. You know, they weren't expected to do anything special. And they finished on the podium. They finished in the top 10. They had a good day. Maybe not their best day. Maybe the weather still impacted them. But they had a day that they'll never forget because they kept showing up. We all need to remember that. We all need to keep doing that. If we love this sport as much as we all claim, I think, that we do, and we have goals and ambitions and dreams of continuing to do more, push our limits, go farther, run faster, got to keep showing up. Got to keep showing up. There's no other way. You know, train smarter, work with a coach if that's something that might help you, learn lessons, do all of these things. But when the rubber meets the road, we got to keep showing up. We got to keep showing up for our training, keep showing up for our races, keep showing up and seeing what happens. And some days, it's just going to flow and it's going to be amazing. And relish those days when you get them. So those are my five takeaways, tips, lessons learned from the 2018 Boston Marathon. And like I said at the beginning, I would love to know from you what you have, what you can offer. What did you learn? from watching the race? What was your takeaway? What's your lasting memory of the 2018 race going to be? Is it going to be the weather? Is it going to be something else? Let me know on the Twitters at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And as always, you can hit the show notes. And I do have to say, my meme game and GIF game, not shabby this week. We've got the Great Day to Be a Duck meme, which is one that I actually, that was my cleverness that came up with that one. You may have seen that on social media a little bit this week, but if you didn't, you can check it out in the show notes, dizruns.com/559. And there's a few other gems in there as well. Some good ones, I think. I hope at least. As always, feedback, comments, questions, concerns, all that stuff is always appreciated. So let me know what you think. And thanks again to Bruce for leaving the review that got read earlier today. And like I said, no plans on slowing down soon. So if you have the ability, the patience to wade through the Apple Podcasts app and try to leave a review for the show, it would certainly be appreciated. If not, no worries. I don't blame you. It's not easy to do, but it would mean a lot. And certainly it always helps to make the show a little bit more visible and help more folks find it. And y'all have been doing a great job of spreading the word, whether it's leaving reviews, talking about it, promoting it, whatever. The numbers are continuing to climb up to the point where I'm not just thinking it's a fluke anymore. It's real deal. And I can't thank you all enough for that. So thank you so much for all the support, all the love, all the mentions. It really does mean a lot. And I hope that what I do with the show is something that you enjoy as well. Although I kind of think that must be the case, because otherwise you wouldn't be telling people about it, right? But anyway, we'll go ahead and wrap this thing up. Crept over 20 minutes, of course, but maybe it's not as long as some of the more recent quick tips. So, you know, there's that. But until next time, please be well. Take good care. Thank you for listening as always. And appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all so much. So until next time, we'll talk soon. See you.